Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to the Expressway. You are listening live to the BT Express. And Charles, show me the way as we bring you the world of sports, New York football, Jets football, Giants football, all sports. And I wish we could talk about the Knicks, but I don't know if we are going to be talking about the Knicks that much longer. But for their golf season about to head shortly ahead of us. But we got a lot to talk about. We got Jets, Giants, rookie minicamp. We're going to talk about how they're really not doing much. You really can't see the skills that each team has brought in because now I guess the team's BT coaches are trying to make sure that their players stay healthy given that they probably haven't worked out a long time. So it's not like when Dan Reeves tried to run us to the ground in our rookie minicamp and I could barely walk when I finished my 3 days when I came to the Giants. So it's a lot of change there. The schedule will be coming out tomorrow. There are a lot of new things that I would like to talk about. We have a good Friday football game, a Black Friday football game after Thanksgiving, and that's something new. There may be something on tap for the Jets, maybe prominent national TV exposure now that they have Aaron Rodgers. The Giants and Eagles may be a Christmas Day matchup, a lot to talk about. Dexter Lawrence also got a new contract. I want to get your thoughts about that. And we had a conversation last week, and we just started. We didn't get into it, but I think it's something we need to talk about, and that's our running backs and how disrespected the running back position is being portrayed around the NFL, especially in management. And I want to talk about that and understand why you think that is. And then in our third quarter, we want to talk about players and fans and how the interaction, specifically in basketball or those sports where fans are close to the players, how that interaction impacts the game and should impact the way we look at sports and how we view sports and how we as fans, cheer for sports. Because I was kind of upset. We kind of talked offline that I was kind of upset that Jokic didn't get suspended for pushing the owner of the Suns the other day, which was uncalled for. But if a fan were to touch a player, they would have been thrown out the arena and probably arrested. So I think there's a double standard there. I think because of the person it was that got into the altercation, they may not have wanted to jeopardize their team's chances of winning last night. So I want to get your opinion about that. And as always, the fourth quarter, the NBA finals, the MVP was named, and you know who won. That's my boy. MVP Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. I want to get your thoughts about that and just get your thoughts about the playoffs and the series. Talk about our Knicks and how everybody was hyped up. They wanted to play Miami. They thought they were going to the conference finals. And unfortunately, your boy Julius Randle may not have shown up or he's still back in New York. I don't know what's going on, but we got a lot to talk about. And Billy, how was your week?
Outstanding, man. This is really a good time for me because I think NBA action is the best I've ever seen. I've been watching NBA action for a long time. I lived in Seattle, Washington for a little while, and I used to love the Sonics, and then they left there. And so I love this time of year, if you think about it. And football seems to always have news in the world of sports, no matter that it's the offseason. And one of the things I saw was that CBS Sports named Giants among the most impactful drafts. But that's kind of a weird situation because you look at the prognosticators, no one is picking the Giants to make the playoffs. And last year did the same thing. The Giants end up going to the playoffs and beating Minnesota in the first round. So I think the Giants can go further than that this year. And the Giants had their rookie minicamp recently, and a lot of good things were said about that. And I really still believe that the Giants got the needs that they wanted. And I think some teams says best player available, but I think you really have to address what you want. And I think Coach Dable, he knows what kind of players he wants, and I think he's going after it. And I'm looking for a positive situation coming up for the Giants in the 2023 season.
Absolutely. We talked last week about both Jets and Giants. I was kind of miffed at the Jets' first-round draft pick. Obviously, they missed out on the tackle that they wanted. They didn't. Pittsburgh jumped ahead of them and got the tackle there that they wanted. And so they didn't want to reach for an offensive lineman. And so they got the linebacker. I just don't know if he's physically ready. I don't even know if he's comparable to Kayvon Thibodeau from last year's Giants pickup last year. Very different players in my perspective. Kayvon came on towards the end of last year. So I'm pretty curious. I think that's the only question mark I have about the Jets draft pick or draft selections from last week is I'm not totally sold on the pass rusher that they selected last year. I like what the Giants did. They addressed a lot of the needs. They needed an offensive lineman specifically at center. I think everybody, all of the prognosticators have said that this is probably the best center in the entire draft. So they got the position that they need. They got a running back to help back up Saquon Barkley. And we both, when we were reviewing the cornerbacks, loved the kid out of Miami that they picked up, Maryland that they picked up because of his speed, his aggressiveness, his toughness. And that's probably the new age cornerback that could be a dominant piece to that Giants defense. So I'm excited about what they did. What I want your opinion on, and I know when you were coming up, they tried to kill you during practice, right? No water breaks, no nothing. But in this new age of analytics and letting the science kind of control what you do with players on the football field, you know, these past two, the Jets and Giants minicamp, what I'm hearing is they really didn't do much. You really couldn't tell who, you know, what type of talent you had because they weren't going against one another as much.
Yeah, but see, and the water thing was before my time too, Charles. I had to drink water. So we had water breaks. Come on, you can't be in there in the summertime without no water breaks. I would have died. And we didn't have leather helmets either. But anyway, the thing that I got was that the center, John Michael Smith, the guy the Giants got in the second round, they say he's, even in practice, he's taken over as a leader on the offensive line. If you think about what a center does, he's the quarterback of the offensive line, and he's got to be able to tell people what to do, point out different things, and they say he's already doing that. So I'm looking for him to start the very first game of the season, and I'm looking for him to lead it. And if the Giants can get everything together, that should open up things. I'm really anxious to see Earl Gray as a running back because, as I told you before, my friend went to OU. He keeps up on everything at Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, the Sooners. And he says this guy possibly could really help Saquon Barkley early. And we're going to talk a little bit later about the running backs being disrespected. But I think if you have a 1-2 punch there, I think that's outstanding because – you know it is because you and Tyrone Wheatley had a great 1-2 punch in with Tiki Barber. I think it's essential. And even when the Giants went to the Super Bowl, they had a good 1-2 punch the first time. So I think it's important. And I think I get mad every time somebody says, well, the running back gets hurt all the time. He's the one taking the beating. You're the one that's beating him up. I mean, I look at Saquon last year. He had 135 yards, or I can't remember how many yards he had, but he had 35 carries. And then the next game, I think he really looked like he was a little sore and didn't really back it up. They talk about, well, he's inconsistent. No, he's not inconsistent. He got beat up during the game. So I just hope that this helps Saquon by getting the guy Eric Gray from Oklahoma. A lot of people think he's a steal, so I'm anxious to see what happens on that front.
Yeah, and when you talk about Earl Gray, it just highlights the contract that Saquon has not signed yet. And where we are as far as, is he going to play on that franchise tag, or will he accept the contract offer that the Giants have made him, making him maybe between $12 and $15 million, if you believe what the news reports have said that they've offered him. Do you think it's worthwhile, given that running backs, if you look at it, we talked about last week, there's really only one guy that's still with the same team, that's Travis Henry, who's been with Tennessee a very long time and is still rushing like he's 24, 25 years old, right? And so there are not too many, obviously only one out of 32 teams running backs like that. Zeke Elliott was just released. Should he, kind of swallow his pride a little bit and say, hey, look, let me just take what's the best offer on the table, given that, and we will talk about it in later, given that nobody is really putting the running back position in such a high priority?
Well, I think his situation is a little bit differently because he's had a bunch of injuries, but he's one tough running back. I like the way he runs. He runs between his shoulders and just takes on licks rather than the other way. So I'm shocked that nobody's picked him up yet. But see, I think you can give an older running back like Ezekiel, you give him a chance because you can make a lot of incentive-driven contracts where he gets X amount of yards. He's a good catch. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. And maybe something against the Cowboys. I don't know. A lot of people don't like the Cowboys the way they do things. So I hope he gets picked up by somebody. And then I did hear Derek, Coach, General Manager, Owner Jones, say that he thought that he might bring him back at a lesser price, because he was up there $14-15 million a year of it. But he was earning his money, and so they just say running backs get hurt too much, and that makes me mad because it's up to the coach who calls the plays. Like if Saquon had more help last year, he probably could have been a little fresher. So we're just going to see what happens on that front.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And on another Giants note, Dexter Lawrence just signed a huge deal, 4 years, $100 million. And you kind of see the way the league is prioritizing positions. It's like quarterback, your defensive line, and your DBs are the ones that are really, really getting paid.
And the wide receivers, if they have a great season, because right. I was still surprised that Odell Beckham got $15 million coming off an injury like he did, because he still, has to go prove himself. Because, when you I haven't ever had a ligament damage in my knee, I tore a cartilage, but when you mess up a knee, I think that is tough on anybody. And he's had two of them on the same knee. So I'm anxious to see how he gets back. And, Lamar Jackson's got to be happy as heck that he's there. Plus they drafted a receiver, last name Flowers for Baltimore. And I look for the Baltimore Ravens to really do good this coming season. But a lot of things happening in the NFL. They talk about the schedule coming out and Giants doing different things. What I like is that they're saying it's a free agent every week for the NFL, because now you got networks, the regular networks, and you got Amazon and Prime in there. And, it's just a money situation. So every week, I like that they can go to a different game. But the only thing that hurts, though, Charles, is that the fans, if they have tickets to a certain game, then they change it to a Thursday night or something, then that's kind of hurts you as a fan. So I guess they don't care about the fans because, the money comes from television.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that's something that we will definitely get into in our next segment. And you're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We will be right back in a moment. But before we go, I want to leave you with something. Would you, after Thanksgiving Day game, all three games, would you go to a Black Friday football game instead of go shopping? We'll be back with an answer to that question in a moment.
Welcome back to The Expressway, Billy Taylor, Charles Way on the NFL Alumni Media.com. We're talking about mostly football, but we're talking about other sports a little bit later. We're talking about the running back just now, but the schedule is coming out. You have a thought process on the Giants schedule, and you said Black Friday. This is the first time ever the NFL has done this on a Friday, And would you limit your shopping so that you could see a football game? And the thing about it is that when the Giants opened their new stadium, Charles, in 2009, they said they have more women who are season ticket holders and who come to the football games than ever before. So that might take a toll on them.
Yeah, we're not standing in the Black Friday lines at 2 a.m. waiting to get the TV, a TV for $200, a 50-inch TV for $200. So that's a huge thing. I don't know. College has always played on Thanksgiving weekend. You get all that's rivalry week for colleges. So I think that's an opportunity where you're taking away from the college game if you have an NFL games on Friday as well. So I don't know, because that was the weekend, especially after Thanksgiving, is like your college rivalry weekend where you're watching Auburn, Alabama, in my home state, Virginia Tech. That's the weekend where I need to get down to the nitty-gritty and root for my school if from a college perspective. But it's another way where the NFL, given that they're trying to appease all of these media outlets, as you just alluded to.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Amazon, you got YouTube, you got all the networks now up for grabs, where it used to be CBS would always carry AFC games and Fox would always carry NFC games. And so now it's like a free-for-all. It doesn't matter which network you're on, you're going to have an opportunity to have every game. So I think it's changing. The one thing I want to talk to you about is how are you going to feel when you got NFL? See, I used to watch NFL Sunday Ticket on DirecTV, right? And so you can flip back with your remote easily with between NFL Sunday Ticket and your local game. Now with everything being on YouTube, that's going to cause a problem, because I don't know about the kind of television you got, but it takes a second for an app to load on my TV when you're switching between your TV and then the NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube. So that's going to be difficult for me, and that's probably going to be more frustrating than anything.
Well, see, what happened to me last year is I've always had the NFL ticket also, but they you're going to be watching, like last year I was watching primetime and Amazon, and I can't take the game and I can't rewind it or go forward. And that was the great thing that I love. If I saw a great play, I rewind and watch it again, even if I taped it. But Amazon didn't have that. I'm hoping they work that out. But if they go to YouTube like they're supposed to do with the NFL, all the NFL games, it's going to be a thing to catch up with, because, you know, DirecTV really had it all the way down. I mean, they really had it smoothly. You could tape games. You can go back. You can do all different things in the red zone. I just think that the NFL is making so much money, Charles Wade, that it's just, I mean, they're picking their networks, picking where they go. And then we talked a little bit before, sometimes you won't know until the week of the game where your TV is going to go to, because if the Giants keep winning, say, like last year, the Giants were 5-0 against the AFC West or the AFC East. And I think that if they continue to improve, like the prognosticators are saying, they're not going to be better. But say that they are, that would mean, like, say, in week six, the Giants play somebody that's really important. They will switch from a Sunday to a Thursday or from a Sunday to a Monday. And I don't know how you deal with that, because you may have planned it a long time in advance, because now that the schedule's coming out, people are making their plans for hotels on the road. And when the team goes on the road, a lot of people who follow the Giants or your favorite team, they go on the road. But how are you going to do that if they switch it up? So that's the thing that bothers me. But I think we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's really about the money. It's about networks. They're paying these billions and billions of dollars for these games. they want the best games, especially if you're YouTube or Amazon. It's like, look, I got a Thursday night game, and I don't want, let's say, I don't want Indianapolis Colts versus the Rams, who are bad in a given year, right? When both teams are like 1-10, I don't want to, no one's going to watch the game. So I think because they're spending a ton of money, they want to guarantee that people are going to watch them or the game that they have on TV. And Thursday night games are always bad because you have to give a team notice, because it's the planning during the week is so much different than a Sunday, Monday game, because you only have 2 or 3 days to prepare, and your coaches don't even have the extra day to prepare for the team that their upcoming opponent. The whole week is condensed. And so I don't think they'll change the Thursday night games where they'll flex the Thursday night games, but I know they'll flex the Sunday and Monday night games because they can. It's a lot easier to flex the Sunday, Monday games as opposed to Thursday night games because of just the preparation involved in that.
But still, from a fan standpoint, you get your book for Sunday at 4:00. The team is doing well. They move up to Monday night, and you're going to take your son, but your son or your daughter was at school and still has to do his homework. So that's a tough one. But then also they say that teams may play multi times on Thursday night football. And that's kind of tough because, you know, sometimes the players coming back from an injury, they need the amount of days to just recover. But I was also looking at they got all these games they're playing in Europe this year. They got Jacksonville going back to back in London. And that's a different thing because they're going to stay in Europe for the extra week and then play that Sunday. So I don't know if I agree with that, but then they're playing in Germany now. And do you think that the NFL is going to eventually put a team over there? Because this is the second year in a row, probably about the eighth year in a row for London, but the second year in a row for Germany. And I'm trying to figure what's the NFL's goal in the long run.
There was always a rumor. Remember, there was always a rumor that Jacksonville would be the team that would go to London and be the London team. And so I think they're slowly but methodically trying to see if it would actually work. Because remember, they said that they would play 8 games in London and 8 games in the States. And so I think the NFL is slowly trying to see if this actually works, and our players can a player kind of adapt to the change in scenery and environment for as long as they're going to be over there to practice and play. And so we're going to see how Jacksonville does. Jacksonville definitely has a much better team than they had in previous years when they always went. Now they have a lot of well-known players, a lot of stars on their team now that people want to see. So I don't know, especially if I'm a Jacksonville fan, I don't know if I want my team going to London as many times as they're going to London, because that takes away my opportunity to see them live and in person.
Well, see, I've been over to London a couple of times. It's a long flight. And it just used to kick my behind just to fly to California. And that was just 5 hours or 4.5 hours. So going to London, I guarantee it's at least 7 or 8 hours, something like that, on a long plane. You got to figure out some way to get your legs back under you. So that's why I think they may be staying the extra day. But then also in the NFC East, Charles, they're talking about the NFC East has there's 17 games. The NFC is playing 9 on the road. And I think they're going to alter every year, maybe next year. The AFC goes 9 games on the road, but still, I don't know how to agree with that, because to have more road games and home games, I think that's a tough situation.
That is. And I like I said, I think it's all about the dollar. Everything is about money. And if you look at it, the TV deals are astronomical right now. People are paying, I think YouTube paid almost $3 to $4 million, $4 billion for the NFL package this year.
Billion, right?
Billion dollars.
Okay.
And so you look at the TV money that's going, the TV rights money that's going out, the NFL is trying to accommodate the network so that they feel as though they're earning that money. I just hope it doesn't impact the player performance side, trying to accommodate the networks and the money that they're bringing in.
Well, see, maybe because of all this money coming in, like to give an example, in China, the NBA charges them $1 billion to broadcast their games in China. Now, China is the largest country in the United States with the most people, and they love basketball, so they made it that way. I think the NFL is figuring out different ways. And another question I have for you is that they're at an odd number of games. They play 17 games in the NFL. Will they go to 18? And I think this shows me that they're definitely trying to get to 18 so that you have 9 at home and 9 on the road. But see, in my situation, I played 7 years, Charles. I never made 16 games. I was always a little bit nicked up for 1 or 2 games. And I just think that adding games on, then you can argue with them about the running back not being able to handle it because he's taking a beating each and every week. So I know they have that in mind down the line, and I don't know whether I agree with it or not.
Yeah, and to your point, to your running back point, it's like when you look at how they're viewing running backs, especially based off of what they did in the draft. That was the first year that 2 running backs were drafted in the first round in like 4 to 5 years. It's been 10 years probably that 2 running backs were drafted in the same year. And so when you look at that, you're seeing how teams are saying, you know, once a running back gets through 5 years and a lot of first rounders, second rounders sign 4 to 5 year contracts, once they get to their fourth and fifth year, they're probably no more use to me. They can't perform. They don't perform like they did their first few years. So why am I going to pay you $15, $20 million when you may not have, you're on a downside of your career? And I think you see this, and you see perfect examples of the Zeke Elliott contract. He was in the middle of his contract and they let him go because Pollard had come along and started performing a lot better and doing more. And you can look at the two Cleveland running backs that they had that were beasts. And now they let one go and the other one doesn't have a new contract and wants a new contract. So I'm just saying that.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Every team, I guarantee you, every team in the NFL outside of Tennessee is like, look, I can find my next running back next year in the draft because these second, third round draft picks are coming in and doing just as well as some of these guys we're paying $15 million for.
Yeah, but see, with these new NFL networks, you know, with Primetime, with Prime and Amazon and YouTube, that means the NFL salary cap is going up. It's over $200,000 now. I think if it goes up to, you know, a little bit more, they can give the running back a little more. But as you said, the defensive ends are getting money, the pass rushers are getting money, the receivers, defensive backs, and the running backs are the one who's low on the totem pole. So I think that could get straightened out, especially if these two young kids that made it in the first round this year shine and show that it's worthy of a number one draft choice. And I think one of them will. And also Eric Gray of the Giants, draft from Oklahoma, I think he's going to prove that he's worthy of being drafted by the New York Giants. He's going to show his support.
Yeah, and look at all – remember we went through the list of free agent running backs that were available? And yep. you don't hear anybody getting paid $20 million. None of those running backs got $20 million. Right. And they were all legit running backs. And I think the litmus test is going to be, I think McCafferty was the litmus test, but he can't stay healthy because he got the highest contract in the running back group. And I think Saquon looks at him saying, OK, if he got this amount of money, why can't I get this amount of money? Because I'm just as good, if not better than him. But the Giants are saying, yeah, look at what San Francisco did, and he only still played 8 games, and he is the highest paid. So why am I going to pay somebody $15 million, and he only playing half the season? So
yeah, but there's a lot of players like that. You're listening to the NFL AlumniMedia.com. We call this the Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Wade. We're on each and every week talking in the world of sports. When we come back, we're going into our third quarter, which we're going to talk about players and the fans, just like the situation with Jovic and the owner of the Phoenix Suns getting into it. Should they be suspended or not? Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back with more after these messages.
Welcome back to the Expressway. We've just gotten through two quarters. We're at halftime, coming out of halftime. We just got finished talking about Giant rookie camp, Jet rookie camp, talked about running backs, talked about free agents, and excited to hear what the schedule will look like tomorrow when the NFL comes out with the 2023 NFL schedule. There are rumors that the Giants will be playing the Eagles on Christmas Day. That should be exciting. Hopefully, it'll be a game for the division. They'll be playing for the division. I'm excited to see that. Hopefully the Giants can match up with that dominating juggernaut in Philly, especially on paper. Philly is a juggernaut on paper. But what I want to talk to you about, and what I talked to you offline about, that I was kind of concerned with, and you said you didn't agree, but when Jokic went into the stands when they were in Phoenix and grabbed the ball out of the Phoenix Suns owner's hands and then pushed them, I'm like, that's just like a fan touching a player. You're not supposed to do that. I don't care if he is part of the team. He's sitting in a stand, so he's considered a fan. Jokic should have been suspended. You would have suspended, or you would have kicked out the fan if he would even yell obscenities to the player, let alone touch him. If he would, a fan would have touched the player, he probably would have been arrested, not just kicked out. So I think Jokic should have been suspended for touching the Suns owner last game.
Yeah, but you see the flop job that the owner did? He flopped like them soccer players do. And I thought that was terrible, because he was trying to do something to entice him to do that. I agree with you in some way, but I disagree because of where they are in the playoffs. And I think you have to consider that. I mean, these NBA playoffs have been sensational. And if you make somebody, suspend somebody for something like that, you're giving the other team victories. And so I know he deserves something, but I don't think he deserved to be kicked out missing one game, because these are unordinary circumstances. And with Phoenix and Denver playing the way they are, if they lost Jokic, they would be in trouble big time. But I remember, and one of the things that set the tone was World Peace, who was Ron Artest, who went to St. John's. He played with the Indiana Pacers at that time, then ended up with the Lakers. He went in the stands and trying to get a fan that was heckling him, and he got suspended for a long time. And the thing about it I'm worried about, though, Charles, is that the fans are so close to the action. Is, you know, sometimes in the NFL, you see a fan went out on the field, you know, trying to get noticed and stuff like that, and the networks never put them on. The basketball is too close to the action. Somebody can get hurt if somebody's mad because they're playing well or something like that, and somebody goes and hits a player and then gets rough at that. It's just too close to the action. I don't know if they're going to go to what Europe does and have a big old fence around them, because so you won't touch the players. But I think they're going to have to go over this rule in the offseason, because that incident definitely needs to be at least supported or not supported, and figure out what to do. And I think Jokic was correct, and going to get the ball. But I was thinking, if he gets kicked out of the game, I'm going to give it to Phoenix, and Denver, would be down a little bit more.
But think about it. I don't understand why he went after the ball anyway. Because A, the player was ran into the player that was going after the ball from the Suns went into the stands. And he wasn't up, and he was trying to get the ball so he can start to play. But the player was still in the stands, so he wouldn't have been able to start to play until the player got out of the stands. So the part of the fact that he went into the stands, tried to grab the ball from a fan, which was wrong, interacting with fans, like that is wrong. And what gets me is a lot of these NBA players always talk about, you can't say, you crossed the line, you shouldn't be able to say certain things to me, you shouldn't be able to say certain things to me. How many times have our mom or dad has said, name, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt? I mean, just by telling you, oh, your mom stinks, or your mom, you can't shoot because you shoot like your mom. It's like, okay, and so you're going to kick a fan out because he's being derogatory to your mom, and she's not even in the building probably. I can understand if they're harassing your mom and she's at the game. But if I'm talking to you and I'm shouting obscenities to you and you can't take it and you kicking somebody out the game, so what makes you think that if you touch a fan, you shouldn't be kicked out of the game? You should be kicked out of the game. He should have been kicked out of the game after he shoved, because he did shove the owner of the Suns, who was considered, technically he was a fan. He wasn't a member of the Phoenix Suns.
Well, see, I remember when they started the rule, because I remember Patrick Ewing was playing, and when somebody had a fight or something, all the players would leave the bench. Now the rule in the NBA, you cannot leave the bench, which I think really helped off a lot. And then Kyrie Irving was playing his former team, the Celtics, and they booed the heck out of him. They heckled the ball game, and they had a terrible game. So I think that, you know, the fans have to really not cross that line, because you're getting to the point where some fans don't want to bring their kids to the game because of the language that is spoken and the way that some fans do. And you know, being from Philly, those fans will do anything to you. And so they got to have a lot more security down there, because they may throw a beer on you or a bottle on you. And so I think I hope basketball does not get to that point, because I see the Sixer fans for the basketball team are a lot better than the Eagles fans for football.
but that's what I'm saying. I get the fan interaction with player, but players are interacting with fans. You see it every, and especially in basketball, you can see it a lot more because you see their faces. You see, like last night when Boston was trying to make a comeback against the Sixers, and Tyrese Maxey, they're yelling and screaming, and Tyrese Maxey shoots a three, makes a three. He says, shh, right? He's you don't like Joel Embiid because of it. Joel Embiid always antagonizes the opposing fans when he's around. And so their players have always been interacting with fans ever since we were players. I remember we were in Philly, we were playing a game in Philly, and Michael Strahan was just loved to come out early just to mess with the Philadelphia fans, because they would give it to him. We're sitting in the corner of the end zone, and a Philly fan saying, "You suck, Michael. You can't play. Fill the gap in your teeth." All of the other stuff. He said, "I'll fill the gap in your teeth when you tell your wife to stop calling me because she's not happy with you." I mean, you know, some crazy stuff. So the interaction has always been there and will always be there. And I think basketball does a great job of it, as long as it's done in a good will intent, a well-intended way. But there is a line that you can't cross. And I think Jokic crossed that line like Ron Artest. It's like going into the stands and going after somebody. He went into the stands to grab a football. When you leave the court, just like you said, when players leave the bench area, you're going to get suspended. They should make a rule. If a player leaves the court, not as part of a game, but leaves the court, you should be suspended.
I think I agree with that, because then you're not trying to induce the fan to do something. Because, right, you know, if you're the opposing team, they hate you anyway. So I think you got to figure out a way to do that. But that scares me, because I don't want the fans to think that they have that much power, you know, to be able to turn a game around if the momentum is not right for them, go out and do something to change it. And so I can see that if your team is doing bad and the opposing team is winning, I can see a fan on the home team maybe interrupting the game so that they change the momentum. And that's scary part of it too. But we're getting into a different area. because all the players in the NBA and the NFL are making bigger money than they've ever made before. And there's a big difference between the rich and the poor in sports. And so I'm trying to figure out, do the fans get jealous because X amount of players are doing this or that? Or do they? But then again, if they say if you get kicked out of the game, you may lose the right to come back to a game. And I think that should entice some fans to not bother people or start screaming back and forth. And I would never want to get involved with screaming back and forth with a fan during the course of a contest.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I think that.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bet and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
In all of these situations, we both sides, players and fans, have to have some sort of decorum. It's a sporting event. It's a sporting event that the reason why you're at the game is because you love the sport. You want to see the superstars that are playing. And when you're doing stuff that prevents them from playing, it defeats the purpose of you paying $200, $300, and most of the times $500 for fans that are that close, $500 for tickets to watch the game. You're wasting your money. And I guess some of these fans may have money to waste, but a lot of fans that don't want to sit and enjoy a game. I agree with you that fans should curtail what they say, how they say things at games, because you got kids. If I wanted to bring my kid to a game, I don't want someone sitting next to me just spouting off obscenities all game, because now it's not a family environment.
And I think that's what's going to come down the line, because yeah, okay, now you said 500 a game. The Knicks tickets with Spike Lee, they're 2,000 per ticket. So he pays 4,000 per ticket for two tickets to a game. The LA Lakers and Jack Nicholson, the actor, showed up for the first time last week when the Lakers when they won their game against Golden State. And those guys are playing. They say the Lakers and the Knicks are the two highest paid tickets in the game. I guess, you know, it's individually based, but I guess if you pay that kind of money, you think you got a right to do something. But I don't think that you should have rules before it starts, while it's starting, because if you're sitting on the court, you're basically walking up and down the court whenever you want to. And so I just think that they have to continue to police it, have great security, and you may have to hire more security to do that, because it's almost scary if you think of a fan getting mad and what they should do when they get mad at a certain event. But if you think about it, as the sports are supposed to be a diversion from your 9-to-5 and you go out, you enjoy it with your family and kids and stuff like that, that might be over, Charles Way.
No, hopefully it's not. I think what the NBA and a lot of arenas and a lot of the sports venues are doing is they do have numbers. So if you do have an unruly crowd, they have a number that you can text where you can tell them what your section is, and they'll have an usher or security come down and kind of monitor the situation to see if they are being unruly and making the environment unfriendly or unsafe for those around them. So I'm glad that they have those options and they put those things in place to make the viewing of a sporting event more family friendly, which I think is very important. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me The Way. We are back at you after a word from our sponsors. But before then, I want to just say MBB is the MVP of the NBA's. And we're going to talk more about Joel Embiid being named most valuable player last week. We didn't have a chance to talk about that after he was announced MVP. We're going to talk about that, plus a lot more NBA action. We're going to talk about the Knicks' downfall, or is it a downfall? Did we expect them to win this series and go to the Eastern Conference Finals? I think a lot of Knicks fans thought that we would be going to the Eastern Conference Finals, so I'm excited to hear Billy's take on that. But we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way. I'm here with the BT Express, Bill Taylor. We just finished three exciting quarters of the world of sports, talking about Giants, Jets news, talking about the NFL schedule, and finally, whether Jokic should have gotten suspended for grabbing and pushing the Phoenix Suns owner. But now we're talking about one of our near and dear sports that we love, the NBA basketball, NBA playoffs. And but first, before we get into the NBA playoffs and talk about the NBA playoffs, I got to say, what did I tell you? Who is going to be named MVP but none other than Joel MVP?
And Charles, I really have to – go ahead.
No, no, he's good. I mean, hey, go ahead. You take it away because I'm excited.
Yeah, and I really have to concede to you because I didn't like Joel Embiid when he first came up because – you know, he acted like he was a point guard and that he could shoot anywhere and do anything he wants. He was flopping all the time. He falls down more than any center I've ever seen in my life. But this year, he showed me that he's an all-around player. He blocks shots. He plays defense. He gets the ball out. Him and Harden, and I really have to take it to James Harden because I've seen him choke in the past. And this year, he's come through with two 40-point games that almost willed the 76ers to win. So I have to put my hat off to the 76ers. Now, when Julius Irvin and Dr. J was there, I used to go down to Philly to watch the games because he was so excited. But Joel has showed me something. The way they beat Boston, you know, you got to be giving them some credibility now. And they do still have a chance to win the NBA championship. But, you know, they still have to close out Boston first. But I have really been impressed with Joel Embiid. I think he's matured over the years, but he still doesn't realize he's 7 feet tall. That's like he's a point guard sometimes. And, you know, maybe that's okay because he won the MVP, deservingly so.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for him. It's been a long time coming. I think the addition of PJ Tucker, some toughness, somebody to get in his face. I think what the Sixers needed is somebody that would hold all of them accountable, especially him. I think in the past, nobody could hold because Joel Embiid was a superstar and there wasn't anybody else. And I don't think James Harden is one of those get-in-your-face type of players. I don't think people would challenge Joel to become a better player. And I think that's what PJ Tucker brings to this team. It's a mentality. And, you know, when you look at any professional sports, right? When you look at professional sports, there's always like a key player in that mix that you need that kind of allows teams to be successful, right? You need that one person to say, how come they had the same team, but they could never win a championship, but they get that one piece and they all of a sudden win the championship. And so when you look at the Rams, right? They had talent all over the field and they bring in the quarterback from Detroit and they win the Super Bowl. Look at Tampa Bay. They had the same talent, bring in Tom Brady, different mentality, and they win the Super Bowl. And so when you look at teams and one being one player away, that just goes to show you that you better, if you don't have to be a great player to be the glue. You just need to add that one ingredient that they're missing that allows them to achieve the success that they know they can get.
And PJ Tucker is the perfect player for the 76ers. He was on the championship team with Milwaukee a couple of weeks, and I think Milwaukee regrets letting him go because you need that kind of toughness. Those things are not measured in the score sheet, points and rebounds, how you get tough and you play tough defense. But I think this is the best defense I've seen in the NBA in a long time because if you get a point, you have worked your behind off. But see, the same thing, they fired the Milwaukee coach and they won the division this past year, won 60 games. If the Boston Celtics lose to the 76ers, do you think they should fire the coach? Because you think about it, you saw even in Philadelphia when Philadelphia won, Boston came back and the coach didn't make adjustments. He had two timeouts left, didn't utilize them, and he's in his first year as a rookie, youngest coach in the NBA. They're firing people right and left. I'm trying to figure since the Boston Celtics went to the NBA Finals last year, may not make it this year, is it the coach's fault?
You know, I think they're putting too much blame on Joe Mazzulla because they're saying that he should have called a timeout. But understand this. The reason why you don't call a timeout is because you're going against Tyrese Maxey and James Harden, two terrible defenders on the court, right? And so if you do call a timeout, Doc Rivers, and he's been known to do this, he's going to put an all defensive unit on the, it's only 8 seconds left in the game. He's going to put a defensive unit on the team if you call a timeout. So why not take advantage of the matchups that you have on the court already? And that's what he was doing. And people don't realize that. It's like the matchups presented the fact that I got Tyrese Maxey. He can't cover Jaylen Brown. He can't cover Jason Tatum. So when you look at the matchups, that's why you don't call a timeout. And then the other thing I take umbrage with is that they're saying that, oh, he doesn't know how to coach. He can't make adjustments. He can't make adjustments. The man is a first-year coach, and he got 50-something wins in the entire NBA. And you're saying you can't make adjustments. I just think that you got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are the same player. They're not complementary players. They're the same player. They're both power forwards, and they're not guards. And so small forwards, they're not facilitators. They're scorers. And so unlike Joel Embiid and James Harden is a scorer, but he's a facilitator. He knows how to facilitate. So they're two people that have different traits that complement one another. And I think that's why the Celtics aren't working.
Well, it's going to remain to be seen, and we'll take homage in the future. But switching to the Knicks, they're down to the Miami Heat. The Knicks have not played the same as like they played in the regular season, and I believe that Julius Randle, their all-star forward or whatever he thinks he is playing terrible. He hasn't looked good at all. It should look like he's pouting sometimes when he doesn't get his way. And I think the Knicks should think about trading him because he hasn't done anything in the playoffs in the two times they went in the last 4 years. And I watch him every time he plays. He's a big man that thinks he can hit the three. He misses more than probably less than 30% from three. He should take himself down low and try to get some points, then go outside. So I'm a little disappointed in the Knicks. I thought they would do better against Miami. Miami's winning what they call the 50-50 balls. They hustle. They play hard. Miami, they don't have a lot of talent, but I'm telling you, that coach, Eric Spoelstra, he is one of the best coaches in the league, and they play for him. And I don't think the Knicks coach is pushing the right buttons.
But think about this. If you look at the Knicks, come on now.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Can you name one superstar on that team?
Well, Randle is making something like $30 million a year.
No. But I'm asking, can you name a superstar on there? Okay, so Julius Randle is not a superstar. He is barely, he's an all-star by name only. So they don't have a star. Jalen Brunson is Jalen Brunson. He's getting star money, but he's not a superstar. He's barely he's not, I don't even think I would consider him an all-star because he's wearing, look at him, he's wearing down. And so you got Josh Hart, you got Mitchell Robinson. I mean, like, those are like bench players on any NBA team, right? And so when you look at their team, everybody's like, the Knicks got a chance to go to Eastern Conference, right? The Knicks got a chance to win. But am I seeing something are they seeing something that I'm not seeing on a piece of paper? It's like, that's average Joe. Every name, Joe, Josh Hart, average Joe, Mitchell Robinson, average Joe, Julius Randle, average Joe. I forget the forward's name, the rookie from last year. What's his name? That the tall guy that they draft, huh?
Yep. He's not looking good either.
Yeah. You look at all of them, right? And I'm like, okay, name somebody on their team that says, oh, I'm scared of them. And there's really nobody that you can say I'm scared of. They don't have an Anthony Davis on their team. They don't have a Devin Booker. They don't have a Kevin Durant. They don't have a Jimmy Butler. So you tell me, who are you scared of on the Knicks that you're going to say, oh, we need to double team him every night?
I think the Knicks have got to do something in this offseason to bring some kind of star in, and we'll see what happens during the offseason. I want to switch over to the West, where the L.A. Lakers play in Golden State, which has been a great series. It's been a lot of fun. And then someone brought up to me that should they rest LeBron and Anthony Davis because they get tired and then shoot it for game six? And I thought that was a terrible suggestion. Your thoughts?
Are you stupid or something? I mean, you guys, Steph Curry, who can get hot in a heartbeat, which he doesn't look like the same Steph Curry. He's not, even though he can go off one, he went off that one game. I don't see him going off. He's just a different player this year. He's not the same player as he was, the way he's controlling it. And the team is different. I think Golden State is a lot smaller than the Lakers, and the size difference is playing a huge role in that series. But you gotta get rid of him, because when you keep a team like Golden State hanging around, it could only create more trouble for you, because now you're giving him an extra life, and all he has to do is get hot for three straight games. You may not come back. Like, he may score 60 points tonight, right? And they have no chance of winning, where he shoot all of his baskets from the half court, Steph Curry. And then, you know, and so you gotta end it when you can end it. If you can end it tonight, you better end it tonight, because the longer they hang around, the more difficult it may become.
I totally agree with you on that one. Let's go to the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant, him and Booker are really showing me something, but I'm really impressed with Denver. They got a great team all around. Everybody's contributing, and I don't know if Phoenix can overcome this deficit. And then I don't know who's going to play for the NBA championship, but it might be the Lakers and Denver. And that might be quite a series, because I am shocked by the play of the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, that I think that would be a good series, Lakers. I think the Lakers, just because Anthony Davis is playing like Anthony Davis should be playing,
yep,
match up way better against Denver than I would say they match up against Phoenix. I think Phoenix would probably beat the Lakers, but I think the Lakers would probably have a chance to beat Denver. You know what I would love to see in the finals? This, and I guarantee you would get the highest ratings ever, is if Denver played Philly in the championship. Jokic versus Embiid. You don't think people be watching to see what happens? The two MVPs, the last two MVPs of the season?
I agree with that. I think, and as a matter of fact, every single game that we watch, I mean, every night there's some good game on and the great matchups that come about. But I think Joel Embiid has a chance to put Philadelphia on his back, and James Harden got to do his part also. And they could be in the finals and play either the Lakers or Denver. But I don't know who's going to win the game if it comes down to Denver and the Lakers, because both teams are good. They're well coached. And I like LeBron. He's kind of conceding to Anthony Davis. LeBron has come down a little bit of a notch. He's not the great player he used to be, but he's one of the more intelligent players who plays the game of basketball. And you can see he passes to the open man. And I'm anxious to see what his son does, because he's going to USC next year to play basketball. And LeBron says when they get to the NBA, he wants to play with them. So there's a lot of things to look forward to. I don't know who's going to win, but it's exciting for me. And I just think NBA basketball is fantastic.
Absolutely, and I'm excited to see what we have in store for us next week. Who will be in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals next week?
And you've been listening to the NFL AlumniMedia.com. We call this the Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. Each and every week, we talk about the world of sport. So make sure you tune in and join us each and every week. I got to thank Ben back in the studio for making the sound good. And for my buddy Charles, show me the way. I'm Billy Taylor. Ladies and gentlemen, have a nice day.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.